think Honorable Frolic, we have been waiting for, and then I think he has arrived. Honorable Frolic, I think we just have a challenge that Honorable Gumede has been asked to come to the Intelligence Committee. Yes, I think there is an urgent meeting that they've called. And then, of course, we have got some couple of members that could not make it to come. And unfortunately, even the most newest member that we expected that they should be capacitated, and they have not made it. But we hope that we will have that responsibility to actually inform the rest of the members on the education that you will give us today. Thank you very much. You can take us on.
Okay. Now, good afternoon, honorable members, and thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, my apologies. I was in outside of Cape Town where the Standing Committee on Appropriations is currently having their strategic planning session. And the good thing, Chairperson, and that is something you and the committee must consider for such a session to take place, is that if it happens off the premises of Parliament, you will find that those who are attending and participating focus on that area only. There's no other disturbances, because you sleep there, you do your work in the day, you sleep there the next day, you finalize. It's also the opportunity, and I really would encourage it, to invite those institutions that report and work with the committee. Right? It's also an opportunity where you can really look at the full scope of the mandate of your committee. Historically, for instance, the one issue that I dealt with the former chairperson, Red Maggie Mawunye, was the issue of election observer monitoring taking place. Continuously, there will be requests coming to Parliament, either from SADC or other international bodies, who will say, please send us parliamentarians to come and observe the elections. Now, over the years, there are a few members of Parliament who have been exposed to training on observer missions. And this is an opportunity, really, where this committee can go, put all the members, even the alternates, through a training program, or invite them to the strategic planning workshop and have a dedicated item just on the critical areas, and then decide how to take processes forward. We've moved to the point in Parliament where we no longer just allow any member to go. You must have some form of training so that you know what to do and what is expected of you when you get there. And it also empowers members to a life beyond Parliament. It's a skill that you gain that you can utilize beyond Parliament, and not only when Parliament sends observer missions. The request that came to me, honorable members, dealt specifically in terms of the roles, functions, and relationship of the committee, especially as far as the institution supporting democracy is concerned. Now, this is a very interesting area, and I just want to make a few comments, and then I will add a few views on the matter, and we can interact on that. As we know, honorable members, the institution supporting democracy have been created in terms of the constitution with the purpose of supporting and strengthening constitutional democracy, and protecting and promoting respect for the fundamental human rights for all in society. It is important for the sake of sound relations and vibrant interaction with the institutions that all members of Parliament have a thorough understanding on the rather complex relationship between the institutions and Parliament, their roles and mandates, as well as issues that they would like to bring to the immediate consideration and attention of Parliament. Even though these are independent institutions, subject only to the Constitution and the enabling legislation, they must report at least once a year to the National Assembly on all their activities and functions. They must be impartial, and they must exercise their powers and perform their functions without fear, favor, or prejudice. They play an important complementary oversight role to that of Parliament. And they must be assisted and also protected by Parliament and other organs of state to ensure that their independence, impartiality, dignity, and effectiveness these different institutions and we arrived at a certain decision, because we believe it is only through interaction that you can really demystify. When you talk about Chapter 9 institutions, most members of Parliament even, they mention the Auditor General and the Public Protector. While there's a host of others, there's quite a lot of them, and all of them are equal in status. It's only through interaction that this committee can build up a healthy relationship with the institution that you are responsible for. And in that light, what we have decided to do is that when we come back after the constituency period, is to invite all these different institutions for 1 week to Parliament. And I've been communicating with the chairpersons involved. I've sent a letter where we will preferably have joint meetings with other committees who also have an interest in this institution, so that those committees can sit, they can interact with the commissioners, they can interact with the CEO, and then establish sound working relationships. I usually encourage chairpersons of portfolio committees to have these type of relationships. You don't always need to agree with one another, but all of us serve a common purpose, right? All of us work towards the same outcome. The role of the institution is different from that of the portfolio committee. But also, the portfolio committee in Parliament doesn't necessarily have the same expertise and skills at our disposal to do the type of work that, according to the Constitution, they must do. And that's why they must share their information. They come and they say, this is what we are busy doing. We want to move away from the perception that exists that there is an adversarial relationship between Parliament and the institutions supporting democracy. And to address that situation or perception, it can only be done through meaningful interaction. This committee, like the others, is then tasked to, from the outset, develop a clear understanding of interaction, communication protocols, the institution's expectations, and also Parliament's expectations on how this relationship can be developed further. In that way, we believe we will put the fifth Parliament on a sound footing for a dynamic relationship between those institutions and parliamentary committees. Also, when annual reporting takes place, I encourage chairpersons that when the committee become aware of a problem or an issue, is for the chairperson to interact with the relevant head of that institution instead of waiting for the annual report to come. Because by then a lot of damage could have been caused in terms of misunderstandings or relationship issues. So have a dynamic interaction, ensure that these institutions also get a feeling that Parliament understand their role and the critical importance of the work that they are doing. And especially in terms of the institution that you are overseeing, they fulfill a critical role in ensuring free and fair elections. Very, very important. And they need all the assistance, given the challenges that exist, to assist them in executing their work and their mandate effectively. That is how we can complement the work that we are doing and move away from some of these misunderstandings that sometimes get expressed through different forums and through different mediums. As I have indicated, none of these institutions are more important than the other. It's only their mandates that are different. Their mandates are different. Now, apart from the interaction that you will have with this one, you will also, honorable members, will have the an opportunity to meet with the Office of the Auditor General. The Auditor General, and there's a similar process also developed for the Auditor General, where you will come to the relevant committees, deal with those committees, say exactly what they are doing, what Parliament also expects from them, is to afterwards to deploy people from his office, officials from his office, to all the different portfolio committees, so that you know when you deal with Home Affairs issues, this is the person in the Office of the Auditor General that will be of assistance to your committee. When you do the annual report or when the report from the Auditor General on audit outcomes of national departments, national and provincial departments, is made available, then you will know this is the critical staff that your committee will interact with and that your committee will deal with. This is also part of the relationship building exercise that we are embarking upon, but also to ensure that you can call on them at any given moment as a committee, especially when you are going to develop your BRRR reports. The BRRR reports, honourable members, is not a one-off occasion. What we do in Parliament is we say somewhere in October, you will have 2 weeks, and it's 2 weeks that we give to say that for 2 weeks you can finalize your reports. It doesn't mean in those 2 weeks you must call all these different people and squeeze them into the 2 weeks. No. Your interaction must be ongoing with the institutions you are working with, especially with the Auditor General, so that in those 2 weeks you can bring all your different interactions in terms of oversight together in one consolidated report. In those 2 weeks, the intention then for you is to have a draft report already and then just to finalize the report. That will take a lot of pressure off the committee because we don't know yet what the legislative program looks like. Some committees last year faced a challenge because they did not have regular interactions, and then October came and they tried to do everything during that period whilst they had legislation as well. Now that is not good planning, it's poor planning. Rather on an ongoing basis, slotting these institutions, the Auditor General, also work very, very closely with the Standing Committee on Appropriations, because appropriations deal with quarterly reports from the departments in terms of expenditure. And the chairperson can interact with the chairperson of the Standing Committee on Appropriations, the Honorable Mashatile, and say, by the way, what is happening in Home Affairs? Is there anything that we should be aware of? Because the quarterly reports are there. We cannot leave the work of oversight, financial oversight, only to appropriations and only to the public portfolio committee on public service and administration, and then SCOPA. SCOPA is even worse because SCOPA deals with matters after the damage has been done. Right? Appropriations will give you the opportunity that as funds are being spent, you will get regular updates of what is taking place. So make use of those opportunities. And Chairperson, finally, I really wish to invite you to make use of the opportunity later in the course of the year, in the next term even, to take your committee for a strategic planning workshop. It will really embolden the objectives and also the vision of where you want to take your committee to for the next 5 years. We know that Parliament will be finalizing its strategic plan for the first Parliament within the next 6 months, but nothing prevents you now already to start your work, to have a short, medium and long-term vision, and when the strategic plan is available, you can just make the necessary adjustments as they occur. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I want also, and the chairpersons, I keep on telling all the chairpersons, there's 38 of them that I work with, but I say to them, please, if you have a challenge or you need assistance or advice, I don't have an appointment book in my office for chairpersons. They just arrive anytime when I'm there. So you walk in, chairperson, and you say that this is the issue you want to discuss so that we can see to it that these committees function effectively and execute the mandate in terms of the rules of Parliament, but also in that of the Constitution. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks very much, and I think you have assisted us what you two expect to see as well on how we do our work in this particular committee, and I think the relationship that you have indicated and the collaboration with the other committees, especially the appropriations, and I think it will make our work a lot more better, and the possible strategy planning session, as you've indicated, it may reveal some other things that we may not have been aware of, and then to come into our workflow plan. I think we really do appreciate that, and it should add value on how we move forward. And I think we appreciate your input. Honorable members, I'm not sure whether there is any specific issue that we can request Honorable Frolic to clarify or explain more. Okay. Thanks. I'm sure then you have been much more clear in what you have taken us through. No, I think thanks again, and probably, of course, like as you said, that you don't have an appointment book, and then if there is anything that arises in the committee, you'll always get our call. Otherwise, then I'll become part of the traffic that goes through your door. Thank you very much. And, bye, thank you. Okay, thanks very much. Okay, honorable members, I think this takes us close to the end of our session. Are there any house rules or any house instructions, committee secretary?
No, there are none.
Okay, in the absence of any other thing that we need to do, I think this workshop then is adjourned and closed forever. It's a workshop, it's closed forever. Yes. No, thank you very much.
And then what you
do
is
kind of